Yeah. All right. Thanks for coming to this workshop on effective field trips. So when you were in school, did you enjoy field trips? Put your hand up. Look forward to field trip day. When you taught, did you look forward to field trip day? Did your students look forward to field trip day? Hopefully. I think probably they did. I know I always enjoy going on field trips. So to start with, I'd like you to give me some places that you in your school experience, whether it was in school or teaching school, have gone on field trips. We're just going to make a list. And just if it's names we're not familiar with, that's great. Just give me some.
Brand's Bakery.
What was that?
Brand's Bakery.
All right. Another one?
Pennsylvania State Capitol.
Yeah.
Another one?
Courtroom. County court.
Did you say the county court?
Yeah, the county court.
All right.
I guess you could say.
All right, a county court room. Another one?
Print shop.
Print shop. Coat factory? More?
Gettysburg.
Obviously, some of these are not places everybody can go. West Coast people can't take their students to Gettysburg very well.
Where else?
Museums. Any specific one you're thinking of?
Well, we went up to Washington, D.C., where there's just a whole pile of them in Washington.
Okay.
So a couple of them in
I'll just put D.C. museums.
Chicago Science Center.
I'm glad I have people. It's not very many people, but there's from a bunch of different places, so there's obviously lots of different places we've gone on field trips. Where else?
One time we did a field trip where we went to four local spots. One of them was a water plant.
Okay.
Where they bought water. Another one was a pottery shop.
Okay. All right, so four local places. A water treatment plant, a pottery shop. What else?
Wildlife refuge.
Wildlife refuge.
Stern wheeler or like a paddle wheeler boat.
Okay. You see a stern wheeler? Guy riding a bike with a little smile. Okay, a life-size tabernacle model. More?
Okay,
Old Belief Museum. Mary Dam. I see I've started to lose my skill to get a crooked line here on the board. Any more?
The coast.
Airport fire station.
What was that one?
The airport fire station.
Okay. The airport fire station. Like the station that they have there at the airport.
Yeah, we could actually take their special.
Okay. More?
Chesapeake Bay Maritime Museum.
All right.
Hmm?
So I'm curious, how many of you do field trips as a whole school? Everybody. Okay. So there's nobody here that does individual field trips. You guys do room field trips too?
We do both.
Okay, some of you do both. So in my school, the school board plans the field trips and then we go on the field trip. And so, coming to this topic and trying to think of things for a field trip, I don't have nearly enough notes here to fill up the whole time, so I'm going to need lots of help from you guys, which you already gave me. Any more that you thought of, places you've gone on field trips?
Zoo.
Okay.
Anthracite coal mine.
Okay, anthracite coal mine.
Flight 97. I think it's
93. Right? I think that's what it was. More?
New York City.
New York City, all right. So in looking at this list, obviously some of them are place specific. And if you're living in Oregon, you probably can't go to New York City for a field trip. But some of this stuff could be in a lot of different places. Lots of museums, coat factories, print shops. Some of that stuff could be kind of universal. You could go there. Now, part of this class description, well, what is the title? Anybody tell me what's the title of the class without looking at your papers?
Planning effective field trips.
So that would indicate that we have effective field trips and non-effective ones. I don't know if you can give me an example of a non-effective one. Hopefully not. The class description also said we're going to look at some pitfalls that you can have when you're planning a field trip. So, as I said, we've got a wide range of people and experiences and places involved here in this class, so I'm eager to hear what you guys have to share here a little bit later. Okay, goals. What's the point of doing a field trip? Give me some things that you think of. Why do we do field trips? I wrote a few things down, but I want to hear what you guys have.
Practical education.
Practical education.
I would add to that outside of the classroom.
Outside the classroom, okay.
Tom, I can go with those two. I mean, help with the whole school experience.
Right. Help with the whole school experience. Something different.
I suppose one goal is just simply variety.
Variety.
And depending on, you can see some people maybe have like an incentive system where it's a reward.
Okay, can be a reward, yeah. Enlarge the student's world. One of these places that was mentioned here was going to local places, and it's a good chance, I think, to learn more about your local community. It can be. What else? What should be some of our goals for field trips? These are great. Keep them coming.
One this year, and it doesn't work for very many people because of the distance. The Eastern Montana is a creation museum.
Okay.
It's very good in explaining creation.
Right.
Better than dinosaur bones.
Creation museum. Yeah, that would be very good. I think field trips should be a day when the students can relax, just not have to worry, not to have to think about their normal assignments. Obviously, it should be something engaging and interesting. Yeah, enough said on that. It's good if it's educational too, I think, if they learn something from this place that you go. Anything else that you thought of? Why do we do field trips? Mm-hmm. Right. Chance for the teachers and students to do something together outside the classroom.
Well, I've been doing a lot with teaching with their life
helps build relationships. Now, thinking about that, thinking about teachers relating to students, we all know how it feels when we're relating to our students in the classroom. We're kind of the teacher here, we're in control, this is our classroom, we're interacting with our students. Then we get outside the classroom, at least this is the way it is for me, and sometimes it's like, how am I supposed to act with my students outside the classroom? Because they're still my students, but we're not in the classroom anymore. And you can correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's okay sometimes for a teacher to not act, I don't know if immature is the right word, but to act like, not like they act at school. Like at school you obviously need to be professional, do your job, but sometimes when you're with your friends that know you real well, I think it's okay to be a little bit less formal, less reserved. I could be wrong on that. But a field trip's not a time to do that. Not a time to be as you would be with your closest group of friends. Also, do you ever worry about how your students are going to act on a field trip? This is probably maybe a little bit more for the younger ones, but it could, or for teachers of younger students, but it can easily be for older students as well. So I just thought of that. I'm like, if I worry about how my students are going to act on the field trip, what's that saying? What's that saying? One thing it says to me is that I don't trust my students very much. Because, yeah, I think I need to be there to help them behave all the time. Another thing it says to me in a way is I didn't do my job right beforehand. There's things that should be set in place before you get to the field trip part of the year that your students should just know how they should act. Now I know that's idealistic, but I think it's achievable as well. So, some questions. We're going to move on and talk a little bit here about how we can make a field trip effective and try to give some characteristics. So here's some questions to get your creative juices flowing. They're not really in any order. How far should you be willing to travel to go to a field trip? Is it important if it's age specific? Like, should you split up the school and send half to here and half to there so that the younger ones are engaged as well as the older ones? Should a field trip be a full day event, or should it just be during school hours, or should it just be in the morning? Or another question: how much say should the teacher have in where you go? How much should you just let your school board decide? What do you do if the area you live in doesn't have a lot of natural tourist attractions that you can easily go to, like the Lincoln Memorial or New York City? Or what do you do? Like, what are some alternatives maybe? Is going to the park an acceptable day for acceptable field trip? Acceptable activity? So now give me some of your opinions and answers on some of those questions. And let's talk about how we can make a field trip that's beneficial and effective for our students. What should be some things that are included? We already talked about some of them.
We deal with a larger school, so we do spend about from grade 1 to grade 10, everybody appreciates the same thing.
Right.
So we split it up and, like the older grades. This year, it was leaving 4 o'clock in the morning and midnight.
I see.
that pushing it.
Yeah.
It was very good.
Yeah.
You couldn't do that.
Right. So what would you say is age? So doing something like that where you split the school, send the older ones to, say, a museum where the younger ones would get bored really fast. Is that okay? What do you guys think? Good idea, bad idea? Would that make an effective field trip or a non-effective? Opinions on that.
I think it can make it effective. It can become non-effective pretty quickly if people are moving in.
Right.
Whether it be on the one or the older. Let's not say you have to do it that way after your time.
Right. So we're going to put people losing interest under a non-effective field trip. And the effective one, the opposite of that, holds their interest possibly by splitting them up. We have done that in my school. Some, not a lot.
Doesn't some of that depend on your school culture and the size of your school?
Yes. Definitely depends on your school culture. How big does your school need to get before you split them up and send them to different places?
I agree with that. Depending on the interaction that the school has with each other, if you feel like a family, you should feel like a family. What were you going to say?
The first graders, first and second graders, they live. And being able to interact with the high schoolers, that is like the biggest thing in their world.
Right.
Even if it's just a simple playing game, well, I'm going to school with them, but being able to go on a field trip for 12 minutes, and have a lot of great stuff.
Okay, I like that. I'm going to put here for effective field trips, positive upper lower grade interaction. And again, that's something that's going to be, like you said, in your culture.
If the 12th graders interact already with the first graders, well, it's going to make a very fun field trip for the little ones and for the older ones, hopefully. More on that.
This didn't really apply to where I taught, but when I was in school, often they would buddy up a younger person or the older. And usually both the older and the younger person would go in.
Right. Buddy system can definitely be involved in that. And that, if you do a big field trip, big school field trip, having that system would cause a lot less headache for the teacher, it seems like to me, because you've got an older student that's responsible already watching out for some for the younger ones. More on that?
You have to write a list on the way that I'm going to talk about different grades. You have to be careful that the older ones are not guarded, that it's not a babysitting day for them, or they're just asking.
Right. How do you keep it from being a babysitting day?
The school is small. We were down to very small. I think we're down to 16. Quite small. There was a lot of respect there, I think, from the younger school adults.
Because of that?
Partly because of that.
Because you were asked to help take care of the younger ones.
As much as I think maybe the size and the first graders didn't think twice about really interacting with some of the older ones, which I like interacting, but there's respect.
You're talking respect between students?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. For an 18-year-old or a 16-year-old, some of them will enjoy babysitting, but not all of them will. And if you... Let's see, what could we put up here for that?
I'm going to put here so what can we do to keep that from happening? Thoughts on that?
We have a very small group. Our school is a high majority of little students. And the upper students, that there's four older students, and they interact a lot with our classes.
Right.
They help out a lot, so they're kind of almost accepted as other teachers to them.
Right.
And they serve them at recess, so there's a very good, yeah, they really love it. It's a big success.
Yeah. it all circles back to this culture thing in your school and how the upper graders are perceived by the younger ones and how the younger ones are perceived by the upper graders.
I've been in schools here in Romania, there was about 3 or 4 students, you know, there's a lot of interaction.
Mm-hmm.
Going to school at 60 or 70,
right.
So I think those situations have their strengths
in that area. It's the older students that have been taught to help the younger ones like that, that are probably going to end up in the classroom themselves someday, more likely than the ones that see it as a bother. But I'm not sure how you change that, but it's all part of your job, I think, as the teacher to make it a positive thing to interact with little people. Any more on that? All right. So another question I asked is how far you should be willing to go. You mentioned a bus trip that obviously was a fairly lengthy one since you left at 4 in the morning and got back at midnight. And what's your feeling on a whole day trip, a half day trip? What do you think? In our school we go from, maybe like 8 to 3 or something like that. It's a little bit more than a full school day, but try to have the students back to the school by about dismissal time. What are you used to? Okay, school board should make the decision. Is a long field trip effective or non-effective? So that brings up another point I had about field trip traditions. You go into a school and it's like, you guys do that on your field trip every time. Really? In our school, we stop for ice cream on the way home. That's just what we always do. Somewhere, we stop and get ice cream. Field trip traditions, good things, bad things? What do you think? Exactly, that was my thought too. If you go in for your first year of teaching and you try to change the field trip tradition, it's not going to leave a good taste in the mouths of the people you're helping.
Something they look forward to.
Yeah, it's a constant that doesn't change and they can always know that's going to be there.
It can vary.
Right.
Traditions that are set, I think, are definitely a good thing in keeping your field trip effective. And I don't think that there are times when you can start a tradition and on your field trips that can be you the first one doing it. I think that there's a place for that too.
Okay, let's talk about what you do if your area does not have a lot of, we're going to say, tourist attractions. Some areas face that. We sort of face that where I teach. Sometimes it's just like, where should we go for our field trip? I mean, do we drive a long ways so we can get to somewhere that's interesting, or do we do something more local? What do you guys think? This is going to depend a lot on your setting. I know that.
If I remember right, the four places that I was talking about, that is kind of why they did those four. They were running out of options around.
Okay.
They were close enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just picked four. Like the water plant, it took maybe an hour. The pottery house, it didn't take very long either.
Mm-hmm.
But they split us up into four groups, if I remember right, and just kind of went around each one.
Okay. Anything else on that?
This is what I thought about 2 years. The one year, the field trip, was very easy for the teacher, for the grade that I taught. Because every other year, they want the 7th and 8th grade to go visit the captain.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Defense and Police State Museum. It's kind of like a tradition. And, is that something that happens every year? And it's a little bit of a drive up there, this definitely in the area. And so I don't know how that gets back to me, but I think maybe sometimes having a list of places that they should go to is kind of, not rotating as students go up through,
okay,
and as students go back to the same places.
Okay. Go back to the same place.
It's not the whole school, you may have a small school.
Right.
You don't want to be even rotated every 10 years or so.
Yeah, I like that. Creativity is definitely always a good thing for a teacher. If you sometimes have to go to four lesser places, smaller places, rather than one big place. What else on that? What are some alternatives if you don't have, say, a great science center to go to, or a state capital? Well, I guess any state, you could go to the capital probably. Some people live closer to the state capital than others. What do you think? Any more on that?
I'm not speaking from experience, but I mean, if you're going to have a field trip, your only option is to get awfully creative.
Right.
And so you always have nature of some kind.
Yeah.
Now, you probably, to make something interesting out of a prairie or something, you're probably going to have to work a good bit at it. Grass maze, there you go. But local history, you're going to have to put a bunch of work into it, I guess, but local history might be an interesting thing. And this is an example that would have been a possibility when I taught in Maryland. We live right in the area of the river that Harriet Tubman brought her slaves up through.
Okay.
And when we were going to this wildlife refuge I mentioned earlier, we were driving down this back country road getting out to the refuge, and there was this little sign beside the road saying something about right here in this field was the cabin where Harriet Tubman was born. And we didn't know it was there, we just saw it. So if we would have ran out of things to do, somebody, I guess, could spend a bunch of time researching Harriet Tubman,
mm-hmm,
because went to where she was born, because driven up through the peninsula, following the river, tried to connect with that part of history.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been an option there. At home, I mean, there's logging and mining history. You can do something
right
with it. The stories are there and the places are there. It just takes a lot of work.
It does take work. I think we all live in communities where there's history, and if you are willing to dig in and find that, that can be an effective way to... It just does something good for children if they can connect their lives with the history of where they live, I think.
I don't know where this goes in, but I mentioned Gettysburg up there. I took my students to Gettysburg over the war to the cemetery and went to get them. But supposed to be in the year. And I know that the teacher who taught before I did, it also came to students 2 years before I did take the students there. From both groups, the highlight of that trip was that in Gettysburg they got these huge, wonderful boulders place it on double down. They're folders, you can climb all over them and through them and under them. And
you'll find a field of boulders and have them climb around on them. That'd work.
One aspect I think is tied to this, and I found in teaching, is ask people.
Ask people.
It's amazing. You might be, I mentioned the print shop, went to Cheese House. I didn't know them from Adam, and that they're excellent tour guides.
Yeah.
They love helping out at school.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had people, local historian, unofficial historian, come to school, and that was just his highlight. He got all over that, spending an hour talking.
Mm.
The way it feels like a bother, I'm taking out of his busy day, but.
But he didn't see it that way.
He didn't see it that way.
Right.
And so the more and that makes it easier on my part.
Exactly.
And it makes it interesting for a student. And it's amazing. It's really not a bother.
You did that for a field trip, or that was something
not
extra?
Not a field trip, necessarily. But
you had him come in and talk about local history.
Yeah, just for...
for a period or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see.
And so I think that can work into getting a little creative, kind of what you were talking about.
Right.
Start a field trip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. Any more on that?
I think it's sometimes one of the biggest challenges of the school year is coming up with field trips. And in our area, places in nature and parks and that aren't open until in the summer.
Right.
But play in the snow, but there's a lot you can do. And
yeah.
So kind of restricted that. We've often thought some years ago we couldn't find anything. Maybe just waiting until summertime.
Right.
Students in, but we have never done that.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah. Usually there's probably enough creativity amongst the teachers, school board, usually you can come up with something, I think. But I think when you're looking for at field trips, you got to think about some of the things we've written up here. I really like the local history thing. There's just a gold mine of stuff there that you could find if you look, I think. I haven't much in the community where I teach. And hopefully, our list of effective things on field trips is bigger than our list of non-effective. Hopefully we know how to make it effective and how to keep it from becoming ineffective. Ask students, they could tell you what kind of a field trip is effective and what's not, probably. What they enjoy, what they don't. Any more on this, on anything we've talked about? Any more you want to add to this list of effective or non-effective, something you've thought of?
One thing that helps the effectiveness of the field trip is the planning part.
Okay, the plan.
I remember second year, I taught my kids to go to the State Museum. I asked the teacher to bring in the capital and the Pennsylvania State Museum. I asked the previous teacher about it, and he said, take a Saturday before you go and go for yourself. Mm-hmm. Know where the parking is, know where the museum is, know where the capital is. Go to the museum and take a brochure and mark down the things you think your students would be interested in. It was a Saturday where I wasn't able to do anything else on there, but it helped.
Mm-hmm.
It helped a lot. And same thing with Gettysburg. That was probably the cheapest. I went to Saturday and went to the guided bus tour, and I took my students, we had our own guided bus tour.
As in other parts of teaching, your students will be able to tell if you haven't planned for this thing. And it's not going to be as enjoyable for them. What anything else you want to add to the effective side or non-effective?
I don't know if you all have done it. I'd like to put in a plug for the going, taking your older students, particularly to a courtroom.
Okay.
We did that. I did my best to impress how you're supposed to behave in the courtroom. And we got in there, oh my, you never saw seven vendors just so filled. They were just soaking this up like sponges. And we were fortunate, we got to basically see a small trial from beginning to almost to the end. Some of the moms actually stayed later and heard the jury verdict and went off at lunchtime. And the man that was accused was found not guilty. And that was just a terrible blow to them all. They were absolutely positive. He was accused of theft. They were positive this guy had done this. He was a bad guy. And so it really opened up some dialogue. So, I mean, they learned about the justice system as well, but it made them think about some things that were a whole lot more important than just what the inside of the courtroom was.
Right.
That's probably pretty effective.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else that gets impressive. The big guy in black robe,
and
you better stand up. Right.
Be have any of the rest of you ever visited a courtroom? I never have had the chance. I'd like to. I know it'd be interesting. So, you can put courtroom down here as an effective one.
And every county has one. You're in the United States, you live in the county.
Right.
That's one of the good things that really impress on the children. Don't listen to their parents. Don't respect authority. They don't listen to that family.
Yeah.
One person told me to have a place to go. Remember the respect for authorities in their home.
Yeah.
And when they see that system, it sinks in.
Okay, anything else before we're done?
I have a question.
Okay.
It's not really funny, our parents
should you invite parents or not? In my school we do. It's open to whatever parents want to come along. It's just, it's an optional thing. But how do the rest of you do it? Go ahead.
Well, this long as last trip, we...
Okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But I felt what they were saying.
Right.
Right. They knew it would turn into their day.
It's like somebody pushing into your family, kind of. Yeah.
But we try to make it a day of vacation for the teachers too, and that the board members that are along with me in charge.
Right.
And just tell the teachers to enjoy their day.
Yeah.
Next thing about parents, especially a lot of these places is where they're all the public places where maybe a zoo or a museum.
Yeah.
Parents can spell out and say, so this one that takes these half dozen students. And so you don't have one teacher burdened down with trying to keep
a string of
eight
right. It spreads out the overseeing a little bit.
That's right.
Yeah.
The monkeys on their own side of the board.
If you're going to invite parents, then you get to pick who comes. I mean, I've seen parents on my field trips that I just take a whole lot of their children than they were. I could have handled my classroom better than they were handling their children. But if you're picking, then you get to pick the ones who will actually do good and help
you
out. I'm trying to remember what the handle of my school is. I'm trying to remember what you do. We had to take at least one parent all the time to do it. I remember this last year, I took the day of birth. I sent a letter on the internal to parents what we were doing, asking for me to be willing to go. And I got a phone call from one of my parents. He said he'd be willing to go. I needed somebody to drive that vehicle. And he said he'd be willing to. I told our principal about it. And he's like, get him and don't let him go. He like never goes on field trips. Well, I got him. He went.
I think it's a good thing to have parents along. I'm not sure what I think about inviting certain ones and not other ones. It could get messy if you're not careful, but I'm sure it could be done well. Right.
Someone said that parents will like when you invite them to the field trip because it makes them feel like they can participate.
Right, it is a great way for the parents to participate.
In theory, I mean, they send their children to be with us for a large portion of the day, and then hear what goes on at school through their students' eyes and ears. And it's a way for them to interact. I think there's a lot of positive benefits.
Yeah.
I think one thing you have to be careful is, I've noticed really, for example, when you have hot lunch and the mothers are there, that's when some of the first graders are about to do the worst behavior. And on field trips and things, maybe you're prepared for a first teacher. Make sure the students know who's in charge.
Right.
Like have a teacher or a board member or someone be in charge. Be overarching.
Yeah.
I feel it would be less confusing and more.
Right. Probably for the child as well as the parent.
Yeah, who's the authority here.
Right.
It's still a school function.
Exactly. It is still a school function. Yeah. And different parents will respond differently to that, I guess. And if they don't like it, I guess they just stay home. Any other questions? Did we answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions or thoughts yet? All right. Thanks for coming. You are dismissed. Thank you for your help.